All right, Ambassador, I would love to talk to you about the passing on of Madam Elizabeth. First of all, my condolences to what has happened.
Thank you.
Yeah. So could you tell us what happened exactly that led to her death?
You know what? First of all, thank you very much for calling. Madam Eliza had an accident, you know, on Friday. We were in the office. And, of course, as the weekend, I was the last to leave the office. And I think she left earlier. She went home. And I think she went home, and then from home, she went out. Went out around 7. This is what I'm told. Because, you know, we could not speak to her until the time she passed on. Around 7, 7.30, she left the house. But I think during that time, that's where she had an accident. In fact, what happened, she was hit from behind. This is the story. She was hit from behind. Then she stops, and the driver that hit her from behind also came down, and she came down asking what happened. Of course, the person who hit her from behind, his car, had more damage than Madame Solis's. So they said, okay, the guy said, no, I'm sorry, we need to work it out, and supplement and all this and that. And then he went back to the car, like somebody going to get like his details, like insurance or ID number. He goes back to the car, and he drove away. Madame Alicia, after the guy drove away, she comes and she was behind the car where it was hit and trying to see the damage. She knelt down to see the damage on her own car. That was the time another car that was coming by. So the car came until she was knocked at the leg, only the two legs, but the left one, which was more exposed to where the car has come from, got more damage. It was a complete pain. It seized wound on the left leg. Okay. She fell. Nobody is reported to call the police. The story is that some good Samaritans who were also going to Kenyatta Hospital picked her. This is now around 8:30 something to 9 on Friday evening. She was taken to the hospital. Of course, nobody was able to call us, and nobody reported to the police. Unless if we were to report to the police, the diplomatic police would have called me or called any other colleague because our contacts are with them. We have an assigned diplomatic police that deals with us, and we have the contacts, but they were not also informed. So they took her to the hospital. Nobody knew what she was. And she stayed in the hospital, I think, from 8:30 or 9, the time she was dropped to the hospital, and until the following day at 9:30 or something to 10. That was the time I was now called. Cool, one of my colleagues called me that, you know, somebody told him that our colleague Elizabeth had an accident and she's in the hospital. I was in a meeting, although it was on weekend, I was in a meeting in Westland, so I told him, you know what, just talk to one of our colleagues who is close nearby to rush to the hospital. I call one of my staff, Dimlik. He goes to the hospital, to Kenyatta Hospital, and then I'll be coming. So from there, both of us now converge, and I drove straight to the hospital. That was after around 12, to find that there was nothing basically done on her. She was bleeding from the time she went to the hospital until the time I went. Mm-hmm. Now the hospital wanted, in order to start the procedures, put her in, they wanted money.
And how much were they charging?
They wanted deficit, $2,000.
Okay.
Which we could not afford, of course. Nobody had the money. In fact, when I went to the hospital, because I knew what was going to happen, I had my passport on me. But in case if they want, I give my passport as an insurance that, you know, take her in and then we'll bring the money. But they said, no, later on, I had to write a letter. So I had to come to the embassy. Weekend, I called one of my staff. We wrote a letter. I committed myself personally that on Monday, we'll bring the deficit. So this is where Madame Alicia was taken now for the procedures. She was in operation on theater from that time up to 2. At 2 o'clock, she was out, and I even went myself to the theater, and she was okay, talking, but now the anesthesia was still on her, still drowsy, and she can't recognize, but she can recognize her voice, and he would say, when I said, this is me, no, he said, Alicia, I was so mad that here, I said it, but she would say, no, why would this person knock me? This was the last thing she told me. I said, Alicia, you'll be fine. I left the hospital, and I left two of my colleagues behind. And now Sunday, which was the day before yesterday, mm-hmm. also our team was there. She was talking to the people, but at around 10, she started deteriorating. Something started drastically changing. We've been told that, you know, she's going unconscious, that the kidneys are shutting down, and also the heart was almost failing. To the extent they had to resuscitate her around 10 yesterday. So again, we have to go back to the hospital now, see what happened. And later on, we were told, because of the accessibility, because I think she bled for almost 8 hours, and the shock, the kidneys are shutting down, and she got also some infection kicked in, because the wound was exposed for very long hours with nothing, no first aid rendered or provided at the time. So because of the bleeding and then the infection, that the blood is getting infected now, she went into this, what they call multiple organ failure. So the heart was going down, the kidneys were shutting down. So now, the whole day yesterday, I went there at 2 o'clock, so we talked to the doctor. The doctor came in, they said, okay, they can resuscitate her, we may need to get in blood transfusion, which was done, so that at least they clear the mainstream blood that was poisoned by the infection. At up to 6 yesterday, I spoke to the lead doctor at the hospital, and they said, we want to stabilize her. At that time, we decided to take her out of Kenyatta now to Nairobi Hospital. And I made contact with the doctor. He said, okay, it is fine, she can come, but we need to stabilize her, because in transition between there to their place, they must make sure that at least everything is okay, so that, you know, nobody takes blame. But the doctor was saying he's going to be stabilized, the heart's pumping started okay, the kidneys were not still responding, they were thinking of dialysis, so that at least she did pull out the urine. At 6, the doctor said, you know what is going to happen if she gets back, what we are going to do, we are going to now to amputate her. The leg has to be cut. And they wanted somebody to consent to that. I said, no, there's no relative, it is me. I'm the head of mission, she's our colleague, she's our staff, and we are in that capacity as an ambassador. I would have no, if this is to save her life, you can go ahead. So I consented to that. This was up to 6:30 yesterday. At 7:30 in the evening, they said, okay, because now her situation, she cannot be taken to theater because she has blood a lot. We need to make transfusion of blood so that when she recovers a little bit, now we take her, which is today, this morning, that was the plan, to be taken to the theater so that they try to amputate the leg if the infection has become so grave and they can reverse it. That was what we agreed. So I come home around 7:30. At 9, the same leadership called me and said, Ambassador, the situation is getting worse. Your colleague, chances are she's not going to make it, because the infection, even the heart, the blood pressure is dropping, and the multiple organ failures is massive. We can reverse it. Chances of her making it out of this.
At this point, was she at Kenyatta?
Oh, Kenyatta Hospital.
Oh, still at
Kenyatta? No, Kenyatta Hospital, because they said they can trick her, because she was already on life support. She was breathing on machine, so they can transfer her at this stage from where she was, from Kenyatta to Nairobi Hospital. They need to stabilize her first. If she's stable, now they can move there. That's what we agreed. Okay. And that was the process we were going to be conducting. But because of, you know, multiple failure of the organ, as I said, it was not easy. It was possible for her to be transferred from one hospital to another medical facility. At 9:30 yesterday, she passed on. So that's exactly what happened.
So at what time did she pass on yesterday?
At 9:30 yesterday.
Okay, and Ambassador, at this time, where were the family members? Because I didn't hear you mention anything about the family. It's only the embassy that was taking care of her.
Aliza is here alone. Of course, you might not know, she's a widow. Okay. She had 2 kids. The oldest son is 12. The mother is sick, and she's actually in her late 80s, I think, which is here. The only person, the family that was with us, is just the little girl with Aliza at the house, which is with us, Grace. She's working at one of the assistants in the department, and she's a young girl. She's actually, I think, the daughter of Aliza's sister. She's a young girl, and she was with us, and she's still with us now. She was in the hospital when we were doing this. And she was, you know, you can imagine, a young girl, and she was the whole day. I mean, we're actually, you know, from day one. She could understand this.
And where are the kids now?
We took charge. The kids are here. The kids are here. You know, the boy is actually the 12-year-old, the 11-year-old boy, uh-huh. And I think there is 8.
For how long has she been serving in the embassy? Elizabeth, for how long has she been serving in the embassy?
I think Aliza has been here for more than 5 years now, because from the time I came myself, when I came as a head of mission, she was already here as an attache, educational attache. I think she was deployed in 2015 or 2014, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure exactly of the time, but she has been here for... I got her here when I came. She was already here as an educational attache.
Okay, Ambassador. Thank you.